Christy Potter. I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and I'm still going gray. This is the show about all the interesting, creative, and really inspiring people who are out there every day making the world a better place. I'm speaking with you today, for once, not from the stubbornly freezing cold New York burbs, as I usually am, but from sunny and warm Los Angeles, where I am visiting my sister, Angelina Jolie. I'm kidding, our family is much better looking than her. But I am here in LA, and it is gorgeous and the perfect setting for me to introduce you to today's guest, who lives here in sunny LA and is joining us to talk about wine. Her name is Brittany Deal, and she's the author of Savvy Girl, A Guide to Wine. Brittany, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Christy, for having me on your show.
Before we get to your book, I'd like for you to first tell us a little bit about you, your background, all that stuff.
Right. So I'm originally from Seattle, Washington, and I came to Los Angeles when I went to college at USC, University of Southern California. And I graduated from USC a few years back, and after school, I went into real estate working for a bank. And when I graduated college, everyone always said, follow your passion. It's so important mm-hmm. to pick a passion. And for me, right. I was never that person that had a specific passion. I knew I liked things. I liked school, but there wasn't one thing that stood out to me. So when I graduated, I decided to look for a job that was prestigious and lucrative, what a lot of people, you know, think they want, right? Going after the money. And so right. I got a job in banking, and it was a great job. I made a lot of money. I had a great boss. I worked with a lot of amazing people. I was treated perfectly. So really great career. But after a couple of years, I couldn't connect with the work I was doing. I just didn't feel emotionally involved and really passionate. And so I right. had that, you know, the back of my mind, I could remember all those people telling me how important it is to follow your passion. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to take a leave of absence, travel the world, get some perspective on life, and really think about what I want to do with my life, because I knew I couldn't do what I was doing forever. And so I took a leave of absence. I traveled the world, and about a month into the trip, I was in the Bolivian Amazon. And something funny happens when you take that much time off, when you disconnect and you really have time to get into your thoughts and remove the blinders of everyday life. And I was able to really think about what was important to me. And I was reading a book on my Kindle in the middle of the Bolivian Amazon. And mm-hmm. I had downloaded about 15 how-to books because I loved learning and I always craved the knowledge how-to books promise to offer. But about the book number, you know, 7 in, I found that I was only getting about halfway through before I got bored and went to the next one. I remember thinking, what if I wrote better books? What if I created a book series that provided this knowledge that we all crave, but I made them more fun and girly and short, something people can start on a Monday and finish by Friday, and something that they were, you know, beautiful to look at with photos and in color, and something that's written in a conversational tone, the way we talk, instead of, you know, written in a more academic way. And so I was like, what should I call it? And Savvy Girl came to me in that moment in the middle of the Bolivian Amazon. And I really liked the idea, and it was so different than banking. So after I came back from my round the world trip, I went back to the same job, and I really researched the idea for about a year to make sure it was something I thought I could really do and that it was a viable business. And about a year later, I decided to pull the plug and make the transition from banking to books. And that's how I got to where I am today.
Wow. I do my thinking in the shower. You do your thinking in the Bolivian Amazon. You know, you win.
It's a good spot.
I suppose it would be a good place to think, though.
Yeah, no internet out there.
Yeah, no. Thank God you had your Kindle.
Yes.
So tell us now then about Savvy Girl, what it is and what your goals for it are.
So Savvy Girl is a how-to book series for women, and it's how-to about anything from topics as simple as, you know, makeup or beauty to something more complex like wine or money. And it's the best way to think about it is a cross between the For Dummies books and Cliff Notes. So it's these, okay. It's this how-to series, but it's short and to the point.
Nice. Okay. And as you said, I think on your website, you talk about starting it on a Monday, finishing it on a Friday.
Yeah, so all of the books are 3 to 5 hour reads, and I wanted it to be short because I want people to feel like they can get in, get savvy, and as I say, get back to their fabulous life. Because people are busy and they don't have time to read 400 pages on every topic they want to know about. So I wanted to create a book series that was 100 pages, get in, get the knowledge, and get out.
Get out. Sure. So what made you decide to make your first Savvy Girl book about wine?
I chose wine because I want, for a couple reasons. One, I think the topic is really approachable. And for the first book, I wanted something that was fun and light and something that people would be excited to learn about. I also chose wine because I'm really passionate about it. So when I was transitioning from a career with numbers to a career with writing, I wanted to pick a topic that would be fun to research since I knew it was going to be a lot of hard work to learn how to be a writer. So I wanted to do something that involved, tasting a little wine. Thought that would be fun.
I was going to make a joke about writers being lushes, but I'll just let it go. But
Love it.
I think you did good, and it must have been a lot of fun. You must have learned a ton just talking to people and reading about it.
Yes, I learned so much. I read probably about 20 books on wine. I interviewed about 20 to 30 experts. I took classes. I spent almost 2 full years researching wine to write the book.
Wow. So do you now consider yourself kind of a wine expert?
Yes, definitely. I like
Good.
to say wine savvy.
Good. I like that actually.
Yeah. Well, part of Savvy Girl is what I tell people is, people don't want to be an expert on every topic. They just want to be savvy, right?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So give us an example of some of the things we'll learn from the book.
I try to bring the basics to wine. So how to talk about wine, the whole wine tasting, how wine tasting works, how you smell it, what aromas you're looking for when you taste wine, what type of tasting buzzwords you're going for, and really how to learn how to talk about wine so you can describe the wines you love. I also talk about the 8 most common wine varietals. So that way, when you're at a restaurant and you love Chardonnay or you love Cabernet Sauvignon, you're able to describe those grapes because I go in detail. And I try to describe them in ways that are similar to personalities. Because describing a wine as this aroma or that aroma, well, I think people walk away being a little confused. So I wanted to make them personalities. So people go, oh, Cabernet Sauvignon is the supermodel grape. Riesling is like the teacher's pet. Sauvignon Blanc is the sassy grape. So when they have personalities, it's easier to walk away and know and understand what each how each grape is how each wine, each varietal is different from the other one.
Wow, I love that. That
Thanks.
is really a very clever way to do it, because I'm with you about aromas. People have said to me about, aromas and whatever, oaky something, and it wasn't the same to me. I couldn't pick that out. My nose is not that discerning, I guess.
Learning the aromas is the hardest part about wine, and that was the hardest part about my research. And when I first started tasting wine, I thought, oh, this will be easy. In no time, I'll be able to be like, I get blackberry and licorice and oak. Like, no big deal. But it really took a lot of practice. And in the beginning, a lot of times I'd smell the wine, and I'd be like, it smells like wine. But it's one of those things where the more you practice and the more you try to identify aromas, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It can just be, smelling the wine and trying to use any word you can get to describe it. And actually in the book, in the beginning of chapter 2, I tell the story about being in a wine class and how we were trying this full-bodied Syrah. And the girl next to me, the teacher asked us, okay, what kind of aromas do you guys get? And the girl next to me goes, Slim Jim. I get Slim Jim. And the teacher is like, maybe gamey or meaty? And she's like, nope, Slim Jim. And I thought it was so awesome because that's what wine is. It doesn't matter whether you have these eloquent adjectives like gamey or meaty, or if you get Slim Jim, because learning to identify aromas in wine takes practice. And if we kind of forget what those buzzwords are, and I talk through the buzzwords and teach people them in the book, but it makes a big difference when you just try to use any word that comes to your mind. And for her, it was Slim Jim just to describe that Syrah.
Sure. I guess you could pair it with a Slim Jim. There's a food pairing you don't hear about very often.
Connoisseur pairings.
Why not? Yeah, why not? It is interesting. You're talking about aromas and words that you use to describe it. And I remember saying once to an acquaintance who is a proud wine snob that when I smell certain red wines, you kind of get that. I think I called it like a chemical hit or like a gasoline, like when you put your nose in it and you just get that hit with that whiff of whew.
Yeah.
You know, and then some red wines do that to me and some of them don't. And he was deeply offended. But that's the best way I could think of to describe it, was that sometimes you get a stronger bite in your nose and sometimes you just don't.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect way to start learning more about wine is trying wines and just using any words that are accurate for you. Because mm-hmm. If you've never smelled, for example, a lot of times sommeliers will use the fruit lychee to describe mm-hmm. certain white wines. And I've never tried that fruit. So when I try a wine, I'm never going to describe it as lychee because I don't know what that tastes like. So right. When we describe wine, we're drawing upon our own memory bank of smells we've smelled before.
Wow, you're making wine seem much less scary.
Good.
I've always been afraid to talk about it in front of, you know, people who know about wine.
You know, it's one of the things I loved about writing this wine book is it took very little to get the basics. And I think that when the people who've read the book, they walked away telling me they couldn't believe how much information was in 100 pages and how much they learned and the way they felt they were able to read it all in one sitting.
Wow, that is a huge compliment to you.
Thank you.
You know, in fact, they would even 100 pages is too long if the writing is not engaging.
Yeah, and I had a whole team of editors, my whole publishing team, they're absolutely dynamite. I so believe there's no I in success, and my whole team, we made it a huge goal of ours to create the book in a way that was easy to read, and when we were at the end, I gave everybody a marker, and I said, all right, when you're reading this, if you pause on one sentence or you have to reread a paragraph, it's not your fault. It's my fault. That means I didn't write it well. We didn't edit it right. So we went back through and marked anything where people paused or were confused or if the sentence didn't flow right. And that's how we made it something that was easy to read.
So you've not only had to learn how to be wine savvy, you've had to learn how to be a writer.
Yes, that was.
And an editor and everything else.
Yeah, I think going from a career that was so different from writing, it took me a while to get up to speed. But that's, you know, part of anything. It's you got to pay your dues and you got to learn the ropes.
Yeah, yeah. Was it rough for you the first time that your editors edited what you wrote?
I was so excited when I finally had my editing team because the edits were incredible. It was, I would get to a draft and I was like, it's getting better, but I'm stuck and I don't know how to get it to the next level. And so when I got the edits back, I was so excited. The edits really helped me see what wasn't working and my editors asked me questions to help it get to the next level. And I loved it. And when I hired my editing team, I told them, I'm not looking for anyone to give me compliments or tell me that my writing's great. I'm looking for you to just rip it apart and tell me what isn't working because that's the only way it's going to get better.
If any of my editors are listening to this, please, please disregard her comments because you're not going to get that from me. That's actually very refreshing to hear a writer who's so willing to be edited and to see it as a growth opportunity.
Yeah, you know, with writing, I like to think of it as something where, you know, I originally had such a tough time because day one I started with looking at a blank Word document and thinking I have to write a bestseller. And that was terrifying. And I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I went 8 months without writing anything because I was so scared of not creating this bestseller. And finally I realized I'm never going to, this book's not going to write itself. So I need to get in and write, even if it's horrible. And through the whole experience, I really learned that it's all about progress, not perfection. With each draft, it gets a little bit better and a little bit better. And so it's just getting words on paper. And then the goal for each draft is to just make a little bit of progress. And over time, it turns into something great.
Wow. Good for you. That's about the healthiest writer attitude I've heard in a while, my own included. I gotta tell you.
It's a rough process, though. I mean, you know, as a writer, it's a very emotional process. It's very hard to get words on paper and rewrite it. And there's always this, you know, is it going to get there? Am I going to be able to write something great a second time, a third time? And it's a bit of a leap of faith. It's because when you get the first words on paper, it doesn't look pretty. And it takes time to get somewhere. So it's definitely it requires having faith that that through this progress, not perfection, over time it evolves into something that you're proud of.
And then when you look back on it later and you compare it to where you started, and then you kind of understand why some people compare it to giving birth. It's like, wow, look what I did. You know, it's kind of your baby.
It is, absolutely.
So that actually leads me nicely into what I wanted to talk about next. So let's get a little personal here for a second. You told me earlier that you never used to really feel like you had the kind of passion that people were always talking about. So now, from everything you said, Savvy Girl is your passion.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's it like? What's it like doing something that you love every day?
It is so awesome. Now looking back, I totally get why people said follow your passion, because the best way I can describe it is in my last career when I worked in banking, I would dread Mondays. Sunday night would roll around and I would be like, no, I have to start work again tomorrow. And right. Friday would come around, I'd be thinking, as you know, with most people, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, I can't wait for the weekend. I would just count the weeks down. And right. I really felt like I was counting my life down. And when I switched to doing what I am now with Savvy Girl, I am so passionate and so excited about what I do. I just love what I do. I mean, when Sunday night rolls around, I'm like, yes, can't wait for Monday. I'm so excited. Like, I can't wait to get to work. So I say I went from dreading Mondays to loving Mondays. And I joke that when Friday rolls around, as much as I love Friday, I'm usually thinking, not yet. Come back. Come back in a few days.
That's awesome, though. And I think that's really beautiful on so many levels, regardless of what your passion is. If you can find that spark, I just think that's so important. And I think a lot of people don't, you know, and not, of course, everybody has the opportunity to go to the Bolivian Amazon to think it through. But I mean, just to step back and say, listen, this isn't working. What can I do? What excites me? What would get me out of bed on Monday morning saying, oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? My mom gave me advice once when I was younger that all it takes to be good at something is to have an interest in it, because you'll learn as you go. When you take an interest, you start paying attention and you practice and you get better at something. So for someone to find their passion, it doesn't have to be specific or obvious. It starts with saying, okay, I want to have a passion. I want to follow my passion. I want to find it. If you look, you find. And when you start looking, pay attention to what interests you and what gets you excited and makes you light up. And then pursuing that is how I found my passion. I think how other people can find theirs.
That's beautiful. So what's next for Savvy Girl?
So the goal for Savvy Girl is to have 100 Savvy Girl guides, 100 of these 100 pages guidebooks for women. We have two new books in the works right now. One is the healthy eating book and the other is an etiquette book.
Okay.
And so the goal for Savvy Girl is to be a lifestyle brand. So with these books, and then hopefully there we'll develop the website more with a blog and a place to come and get savvy.
Right. Okay. Etiquette. That's interesting. You don't hear a lot about that these days.
Yeah. You know, I'm really excited about the etiquette book because I think etiquette as of right now is a very outdated term, yet it's very relevant in today's life. And with the way technology has changed things, we still need guidelines on how to act, how to behave, how to interact with others in a way that makes us feel comfortable and confident and also helps us build rapport with others. So I think that this title is going to be very relevant for today.
That's amazing. Now, you were talking before about how you've been working with different experts. So I take it you are still on the lookout for experts for various subject areas?
Yeah. So the wine book is the only book I've written by myself. With all the other books, I'm partnering with people who are experts in their field. So with the etiquette book, for example, I'm partnering with a modern etiquette expert. And going forward for all these books, I'm partnering with these experts. So I'm looking for experts right now on additional Savvy Girl guides. In particular, I'm looking for experts who are stylists or in the fashion industry, beauty, money, and football. And I'm interested in other titles as well. So if there are other experts out there that might be interested in doing a Savvy Girl guide, I'd love to hear from you. And people can find me at my website, savvygirl.net, or people can email me at hello@savvygirl.net.
Okay. So beauty, money, and football, those were not three words I expected you to to string together there, but I see where you're going. I think it's very clever.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so savvygirl.net is your website. They can reach you at hello@savvygirl.net.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think we are just about out of time, but I want to thank you for being with us, everyone. Remember, the book is called Savvy Girl, A Guide to Wine. Did I get it right, Brittany?
Yes, and people can find it on Amazon.
Okay, Amazon. So check it out. And Brittany, thanks for being with us.
Christy, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Talk soon.
All right. That's it for me. I think I'm going to go lie on the beach for a while. I will be back here again on Monday with another amazing guest. You're really going to like this guy. And in the meantime, you can find my books on Amazon. You can find earlier episodes of Going Gray on iTunes. And as always, my home base is ChristyTheWriter.com.